Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Pelican Scoop, a hoop-ball.com presentation. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. At Hoopball Pills is the show. I'm joined by a very special guest today. It is Christian Clark from NOLA.com. Christian, how are you going? Thanks for joining us.
Hey man, I'm doing great. I'm still on a little bit of a high after game five last night over here. I was just an incredible game, man.
Oh, it was something else. I mean, this whole series has just been an absolute roller coaster. But yeah, the game five yesterday. Oh, I mean, that final couple of minutes. What were your thoughts? What were your takes? Edgy seat stuff, hey?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought like Phoenix shot the absolute lights out in the first quarter. You know, I was really sitting there wondering, like, oh man, can Milwaukee really withstand this? Like, I mean, a team pretty much played a perfect quarter of basketball offensively on their home floor. Their fans were going nuts and they withstood it. I mean, it was pretty special stuff, I thought. Drew's defense, you know, on Chris Paul, I think has really changed this series in a lot of ways. And, you know, the play where he ripped the ball from Devin Booker and threw it up to Giannis for the hoop, that was like one of the coolest plays I've ever seen in a finals. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, watching that, and then you saw Devin Booker come off the screen and hit that fadeaway three, and all of a sudden it's back to three with, I don't know, it was about a minute and a half to go. Oh, it was just shot for shot down the stretch, and like just two teams that were absolutely exhausted, absolutely leaving it all out there. And, you know, that's what you like to see. And there's been a lot of criticism, I suppose. There's been a sort of undertone about, oh, well, you know, the big teams aren't in there. There's no LeBron or there's no, you know, Kawhi Leonard or Steph Curry. And there was this talk that the finals weren't going to be any good. Well, I think we've probably proved the doubters wrong. I think ratings are up and it's been really, really exciting. The crowd, you made mention of that. I mean, we saw that with the when there was that foul. I think it was, Mikal Bridges might have fouled PJ Tucker at that point, and then Booker went up and dunked it, and Giannis pushed him out of the air and didn't even hear the first foul. I thought we were going back for a flagrant foul, but no, it was just play on and we were into it. Who do you think gets hold of it in the last couple of games? Do we get to a game seven?
Oh, man. I do think we're going to get to a game seven because I think – as good as Milwaukee has been, I think, you know, their three stars all had incredible games in game five. And I just don't know that all three of them can be that good again. I don't know. I mean, I thought, assuming Giannis was healthy, which was a big question mark, which is crazy to think about even now, because we're all thinking like, oh, Giannis, like he's definitely going to be hobbled. Not the case at all. But I thought, assuming Giannis was healthy, this was going to go seven. It was going to be a very close series. So I guess I'm going to stick with it and say it's going to go seven.
Oh, I hope so. Because, yeah, I'm loving it. And then you realize that after the last two games, we got no basketball, I guess, until the Olympics fires up in another week. And then, if we can, hopefully it all gets the green light to keep going the way it's all sort of unfolding over there as well with the coronavirus. And, yeah, who knows how that's all going to play out. But looking forward to the Olympics. Have you been following along the international basketball at all with the Olympic sort of pre-game, pre-exhibition?
I have. I watched both of Team USA's losses. How many guys do they have now? Four or five? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's been tough for, you know, my guys so far. They just got JaVale McGee, so everything's fine.
Yeah, I saw them call the cavalry in. So, you know, you got to bring the big guns in. I'm surprised he wasn't there in the beginning. You know, there's still guys like, well, Middleton's coming across and Jrue Holiday, I think Devin Booker maybe as well. And, you know, so as much as these warm-ups were important, you know, I don't think until they get over there and start stomping some other teams and get the confidence back and get the mojo going, I think USA is going to be all right. I think Australia's sort of, we're a bit more up and about than we probably should be. And, I mean, confidence is key, isn't it? But, we'll see what happens when we actually start playing for medals and the like. We sacked the coach. We're gonna change speed a little bit. We sacked Stan Van Gundy after 1 year, signed a 4-year deal in the off season. I think he'd only just signed in October or something last year, and we had you on, as we were saying off camera, in December, and so we hadn't seen much of him at that point. Do you think it was the right idea to sack Stan?
Yeah, he lasted a whole 8 months in the job. honestly, the conversations I've had, you know, a little bit before he was let go afterwards, I do think it was the right decision to let him go. I think that, you know, I think there were management had conversations with the players. They got their pulse on, you know, playing for Stan Van Gundy. And I think the players, you know, for the most part, did not enjoy it at all. I think that Stan really struggled to connect with guys who, you know, are in the early 20s quite a bit. I think that, you know, this season it was so difficult from the perspective of constant testing. And like a lot of these guys couldn't really have a social life because of the pandemic over here. And Stan is very demanding and can be grating. And so I think the combination of all that was, they just didn't really vibe with him at all. You know, honestly, part of that I do put on the players because I do think they need to toughen up, but it's like, okay, well, are we going to change, like, you know, the vast majority of our players? I mean, for example, Brandon Ingram and Stan Van Gundy, they did not see eye to eye. There was definitely friction there. I mean, are we going to get rid of Brandon Ingram and keep Stan Van Gundy? I mean, obviously no. I mean, it's the other way around. So I think that's what happened.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I think he hit the nail on the head with the combination of he's probably an abrasive personality, and then you're living and breathing in each other's pockets the whole time. You know, what was it? They had to get up and have a COVID test at 7 or 8 a.m. every day. Then you go home and you're sort of just waiting again to go back and either have your pregame or go have a shoot around or something like that or play a game. It sounds like it was just an absolutely grueling experience for the players. I mean, I know they get paid well, but it's still, I don't know, 8 months of your life that you're pretty much just living, breathing your job. I know I probably couldn't do that if I was doing it day in, day out. I don't think many people could. So we have finally agreed to find a coach. They sacked him, what, after 6 weeks into the offseason, which I thought was a little bit late, but, you know, I suppose you get that. Let the front office and the powers that be do their job. And we've landed on Willie Green, the assistant coach for the Phoenix Suns. Bit of, I suppose, NOLA connection. He was out here, 2012 or maybe, I think thereabouts, he played out here. And then from there, he's jumped into the coaching role and won a couple of rings with the Warriors and now trying for a third with the Phoenix Suns. What are your takes on Willie Green? Was it a good selection? What do you reckon?
Yeah, so I did not know that much about Willie Green, to be perfectly honest with you, before. You know, I kind of heard, I guess, 2 weeks ago or so that, hey, they're seriously considering Willie Green. Second round pick back in 2003. He did play one season with the New Orleans Hornets, 2010, 2011. It's kind of funny looking back in that season. That was Chris Paul's last season with the Hornets. That was Monty Williams' first season. So they all, you know, kind of intersected in New Orleans. And obviously they're all, you know, with the Phoenix Suns now. But, you know, I think when I look at Willie Green's two predecessors, I think Alvin Gentry was an incredible people person, great at relationships, the human element. I don't know how detail-oriented he was, how willing to, like, drill players, especially young players, on, you know, like, the basics and the fundamentals, and here's our base defense, we're going to do this until we get it right. Whereas Stan Van Gundy, I think, had the opposite problem in a lot of ways. Like, he was very willing to do that and could be so demanding, sometimes players tuned him out. And I don't know that he had the people skills, you know, to be demanding without getting tuned out. So, you know, the idea is hopefully Willie Green can kind of be a happy medium between those two guys of, you know, get these guys to play consistently harder, smarter basketball, but, you know, they're not going to just not listen to him because, you know, he's shouting 24/7 and it just becomes white noise at some point.
Yeah. Well, I like that. And, you know, I suppose being a little bit younger, being what, 39, I think he is. And, you know, being able to connect with the players like that, that's what they all were raving about in the, I know the Suns guys were talking about it. Chris Paul saying it was his brother, and Devin Booker saying he's deserved it. You know, they're right behind him in that. I think I saw somewhere that they all came out at half court and celebrated him at one of the shoot arounds before, I think it was before game four or game five. And, you know, so they're all really happy for him. And that's a testament to the character that the guy is. So if he can come in and build those relationships with these younger guys, relate to them, he's been a role player. He's been a starter. I've heard that, that quote from him on one of the other podcasts he did. It's good to see that they're making the right decision. Hopefully that he can manage the front office as well, because obviously David Griffin likes to pull his strings and get involved. So how do you think he'll interact with that front office? Do you think he has the ability to do so?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the biggest questions about this hire. I will say this, Willie Green knows the problems that his predecessors have. Like, he's going into this with eyes wide open that, you know, David Griffin is a guy who likes to have a lot of control. You know, people who've worked with him have said that he can be difficult to work with. You know, I think he's a smart guy, but he wants to have a lot of control. And I think Willie Green has definitely been made aware of that, and clearly thinks that that's something he's okay with. But yeah, I mean, you're spot on that's been, you know, a source of tension and frustration with both Alvin Gentry and Stan Van Gundy. They just were not comfortable with the level of control that David Griffin and his front office wanted to have day-to-day operations. So hopefully, I guess, Willie Green is cool with it being more collaborative, because I don't think David Griffin is changing on that front, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's gonna let go at all. And no doubt he's found someone that he's probably addressed that with and said, well, this is the level of involvement that I want to have, and he's going to have to just deal with it. But if they can work together, you know, I think that needs to be the goal, is that everyone's on the same page. You know, in David Griffin's, one of his press conferences, he's like, oh, we're still trying to work out a strategy and the way forward. And, you know, while, I mean, that's frustrating for Pels fans, because you're sitting there going, well, we've had Zion now for 2 years. What is the, let's get a plan in place. But if everyone can sort of work towards the same goal and be on the same page. I think that has to be the goal. And hopefully Willie Green can grow as a coach as the players grow together and we build this sort of tight-knit, good, inclusive and winning culture. I think that has to be the plan this year. What do you foresee for the rest of the offseason? Obviously free agency and the draft are coming up. Pick 10 is sitting with the Pels at the moment. What do you think there? Do we keep that pick or are we sending it off somewhere else?
Yeah, so right now I would bet on the Pelicans moving that pick to acquire, you know, a player or two who could help them win right away. I think that's definitely where I'd put my money right now. I think they definitely, you know, could make that pick. David Griffin is not a guy who just makes deals to make deals. Like, I think that's one of the few things he's actually done really well in charge of the Pelicans. He's gotten good value back for when he has made trades. I just think everyone in the organization up and down, they realize that, you know, now is the time to press the gas pedal a little bit. Like, there is real urgency to improve next year. You know, after, you know, they brought in a new head coach, they changed up the roster, and the record was almost identical to the last season under Alvin Gentry. And I think they realized we got to show something here. Like, now is the time. So I think that's kind of guiding my thinking and why the pick probably gets moved.
Yeah, well, hopefully they find someone that can move the needle a little bit, or even if it's a guy that a good locker room guy or like a 3-and-D wing. I think that has to be one of the priorities. A couple of big contracts, Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams. Earlier on in the season, Steven Adams was one of our best and then sort of slowed down a little bit with the development of Jackson Hayes and Billy Hernangómez just arriving, which was fantastic. Took the stress off him a little bit. Do you think we hold on to those guys, or are they getting shipped out?
So I would expect Bledsoe to be on the move. I mean, honestly, I don't even know how you could bring him back after what, you know, the season that he just had. To me, it looked like he was mailing in a lot of games. He clearly tuned Stan Van Gundy out quite a bit. I just don't think you could bring him back. I mean, he just had a horrible season, and I don't think he brought, you know, what David Griffin expected in the leadership department. Steven Adams, I think, is a little more of a question mark. I mean, I expect Derek Bledsoe to be another team next season. I'm not as sure about Steven Adams. I mean, I think maybe they look to explore that. I'm not positive on that one. I mean, I definitely expect Bledsoe to be on a different team, though.
It was frustrating from Eric Bledsoe because, you know, his resume has been pretty solid, and you know, the second team all defense, we've all hyped on that. Okay, we flipped him for another guy that's been a fantastic defender in Drew Holiday that probably won the game for the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday. Frustrating to say the least. And I think that quote you where he was saying he's tuned Stan Van Gundy out, and you know, that was that play, what was it, against the Knicks, and he game was it? And he didn't, he was meant to foul and he just didn't foul. And all of a sudden, I think it was the Knicks, and they hit the three because Lonzo missed the rotation, and it was just no good. And
I thought that was the defining sequence of the season, that game against the Knicks in April, where they're up 3, 8 seconds to go. Stan Van Gundy tells them, we're going to intentionally foul, guys. We're up 3. Like, who cares if they make 2 free throws? Intentionally foul, we'll win this game. And Eric Bledsoe just doesn't listen to him.
It was just devastating. It's all these old wounds, they're just getting open back up every time we talk about it. It is there's too many of these games that were just head scratches where we just threw them away, and I think that has to be harped on this year, is closing games, whether that's a fitness thing or that's a rotational thing, or there needs to be buy-in from the players. And I mean, if the leaders in the locker room, like the older guys, the vets, you know, if they're not buying in, how can we expect these 18, 19-year-olds to do it? Because you're sitting there going, well, he's 32 and he won't do anything. So I think they need to get some real guys that lead from the front, you know, a Willie Green type that's a good locker room guy. So another guy like that, you know, we got rid of Etuan Moore, I think, that was probably one of those guys previously. James Johnson seemed to have done that role a little bit this year, which was good, but obviously he came in a little bit too late in the season. Do you think he hangs around, or do we get rid of James Johnson?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think it could go either way. I think they would like him back. mean, I think they liked just, you know, the toughness. You know, I think that's the thing too. We kind of learned last year is like, not every veteran is going to come into a situation where it's a young, you know, team that's probably not going to make the playoffs and just give consistent effort night in and night out. I mean, Eric Bledsoe was a prime example. Just the effort level was not where you wanted it. I mean, I think that's what they really liked about James Johnson. It's like, all right, regardless of circumstance, like, I'm just going to play really hard when I'm in there. So I think, you know, for that reason, I think, you know, maybe they would want him back.
Yeah, I like that. It was like that as soon as he came in. And I think people started liking him because he actually looked like he cared. You know, he actually wanted to play basketball. And I think that's what every fan and I suppose even the other even the rest of the team sort of bought into. And you could see an almost momentum change when he came in because the mentality changed. All right, well, James is in now. If he's going to play hard at 34, well, I suppose we better start doing something as well. So I like that. And hopefully we do. If we can get him on a friendly deal, it'll be pretty good. Or if he is, I don't even know if he's still under contract, actually. But I hope so that we can hold on to him. The big question mark is the Lonzo Ball contract. He is sitting there, what, restricted free agent. The rumors are rife as to what's going to happen with him. Are we going to re-sign him or are we shipping him off or? Who knows? Like, what's your take on all the Lonzo Ball drama?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the Lonzo Ball news cycle, it's kind of been the same for months now. It's been, you know, a similar version of the same thing. I think the Pelicans like him as a player. I don't know that they love him. I just don't get the sense that the Pelicans, you know, want to pay him $20 million a year or, you know, an offer that I feel like, you know, one of these teams in restricted free agency might pony up. I mean, I think if he's gettable on the right price, then they would like to have him back. I just don't think they want to pay, you know, huge money for Lonzo, who is undeniably improved when he's been in New Orleans. I think, you know, you can point to the inconsistency is, you know, one of the factors why the Pels might not feel comfortable, you know, really, really committing there. But I think for the right price, they'd like to have him back. I just don't think that the right price in their eyes is going to be there.
Surely someone's going to throw a max or near max deal at him. And it's going to be a tough conversation that the front office and decision that they're going to have to make. So whether or not they hold on to him, at the end of the day, you've got to do what's right for the franchise. And if you don't see him becoming that third star, well, we've got to just move him on and see if we can swing him for someone else or maybe sign and trade or something like that we could bring in someone else, perhaps Colin Sexton. He looked like a guy that has been rumored to come. What do you think of him? Do you think there's any merit to that that rumor that we might go after him?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a little of that smoke. You know, I probably enough that I think it is interesting and like worth thinking about. You know, Colin Sexton is obviously a talented scorer, can get buckets at all three levels. Very, you know, he plays hard all the time, which I think, you know, the Pelicans, like they could use a guy like that for sure. To me, that's just another one where it just comes down to the money, because if Colin Sexton wants like max money or something close to it, it's like, well, I'm not sure that I would want a player like that. You know, I'm not sure that I would want to like commit something close to max space for Colin Sexton. But, you know, I think he's a nice player for sure. So that's just kind of one of those where it comes down to like, what does he want?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And if it's a max deal, I don't think you go near it. I think you've already got Lonzo Ball. If you're going to pay him max, you've got a different sort of skill set there with a guy that's already accustomed to playing with the team. I think, yeah, there has to be a cap on a guy like that, particularly because he's unproven. You know, he hasn't been an all-star. He hasn't really broken any barriers on his actual game himself. You know, he is what he is at the moment, and as to whether or not that improves or maybe his jump shooting improves anymore, well, I don't know. So it's an interesting thing, but there is a lot of smoke floating around with the Pels. There always is. They try to get involved with just about everything. Oh, Pels are interested. Pels are interested. I say that all the time on Twitter. There's a few big names that they're talking about, like Damian Lillard. Do you think there's anything behind going after a Damian Lillard? Could Pelicans swing for it?
Oh man. I think Dame would be incredible here. I mean, I would move heaven and earth to get him if I was David Griffin. I guess my question is, you know, would Damian Lillard want to come here? Because we've seen a lot of these guys, even when they're going to get traded, they have some input over their next destination. And two is if, you know, Dame asks for trade, is Portland going to, I guess, receive his input or like listen to his input? Because he's got what, 3-4 years left in that deal. He just signed it pretty recently. It's like, you know, a guy that just signed a deal. It's like, are you going to listen to him on where he wants to be next? But I mean, obviously the Pels should do anything they can. And I mean, in my humble opinion, I think anything besides Zion Williamson, you know, that should be on the table to go get a guy like that. But I just don't know if Dame views this as like an upgrade if he came here, even if it was to play with Zion.
Yeah, well, that's the question, isn't it? Do you go from a situation where you've been competing, landing fourth seed, but maybe not making as much noise in the actual playoffs as you'd like, to come to a place that is unproven? I guess it's a big question mark. Are you going back with another team that perhaps isn't playoff material at all? We don't know yet. Yeah, until next season, where the guys start putting it all together. Well, I mean, I think if you get Dame Lillard, you're probably fairly certain to make it. But you know, I agree. I think everything, it needs to be pushing all of the chips into the middle. Besides Zion Williamson, you keep that in your pocket because you want to go home with something. But otherwise, you're swinging for the fences with him. This offseason, is a big one. You know, where the clock's ticking, I guess. You know, you hear these rumblings about Zion's family being unhappy and, you know, which is concerning. I mean, obviously it's his family. It hasn't come out from him from all reports. It's just the smoke that's surrounding it. Do we view him as a flight risk? I mean, is there any chance that he just says, nah, I'm going, and pulls an AD and he's out the door? Or do you think there's a bit more, I suppose, conjecture around it that he's just going to be here and it's just his family carrying on?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a pivotal season when it comes to that topic and that discussion. Year one, that was not really the Pels' fault. I mean, that was just bad luck. You know, Zion missed most of that year with the knee injury, showed back up in the bubble when they had a chance to make the playoffs. He was overweight. It went terribly. They fired Alvin Gentry. Year two, Zion was absolutely incredible. David Griffin did not put the right pieces around him. And it's like, now already in year three, we've only really got healthy Zion for one season. You know, I think the front office is feeling some pressure of like, okay, we got to show real progress right now. You know, we've got to accelerate the timeline a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a huge season in terms of that. And they've got to show improvement, or it might not be very fun around here next year.
Yeah, no, it could be a few people's jobs on the line. I don't think Willie Green's going to be the one. I think it'll be the guys that hired him. But going to be very interesting as to how this all plays out. Do you have any guys that they should target off the top of your head? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the backcourt is in need of upgrading. You know, whether or not they decide to bring Lonzo back, I mean, they can't do the Lonzo Eric Bledsoe starting backcourt again, in my opinion. So I mean, like, if CJ McCollum is gettable, like, absolutely do that. I mean, I think that would be incredible. I like Buddy Hield a lot. I mean, that, you know, just a knockdown 3-point shooter who can shoot off movement, I think next to Zion, is really, really interesting. Those are two names right now. But yeah, I mean, anybody who could stretch the floor a little bit, who can play in the pick and roll, I mean, they just need more outside shooting and shot creation. That's kind of their two biggest needs to me.
Yeah, open the lane up for Zion Williamson and let him continue to punish the paint as he did this year. Yeah, I think we need shooters as well, don't we? Like that consistent 3-point spacing that, you know, I mean, at the start of the season, we're like, well, you know, Steven Adams creates spacing by setting screens and being able to do that. But the problem with that is that you then don't have anyone that can run off the screens and shoot. So that made it a bit more difficult to play him alongside Zion Williamson. What are your thoughts if you could look into your crystal ball, what do you think of this season coming? What are we going to improve? Very early predictions.
Please. Oh man, there's so much left to be done. I don't know if I feel comfortable giving an answer.
Yeah, it's fair.
To that quite yet. I mean, I think like Willie Green is clearly a better fit for this roster and these guys than Sam Van Gundy. But I just can't give you a real answer without knowing what the roster looks like.
Yeah, it is a bit too early. It's probably unfair of me to throw that out there, but you know, we need some reassurances over here in Pell's world, and we're hoping for some success. Long suffering, but very, very exciting. So what's been going on with you, Christian? You've been throwing a few articles out there. I've been watching those. They've been fantastic reading, and appreciate you coming on and doing that. What's coming up with NOLA.com and yourself?
Man, gearing up for the draft and free agency for sure. I mean, I looked at, you know, how close the draft is today and had like a minor panic attack. I'm like, oh, basically a week and a half, like it's already pretty much here. I think this is just going to be a busy next three or four weeks for the Pelicans. I mean, I think, you know, I expect the roster to look pretty different than it does right now. I mean, I would be a little surprised if they stayed at 10. But yeah, man, we got to get through that, and then summer league, and then hopefully, you know, a few weeks of downtime, because this last month has just been like, you know, kind of worried about the head coaching hire. It hasn't really felt like downtime at all.
Yeah, not much of an off season for you guys. You've been all over it flat out, covering it all. Christian, thank you very much for coming on. It's been fantastic to have a chat with you and pick your brain about all of the Pels off season and what we. I suppose what we hope will transpire in the coming few weeks. Where can we find you, and do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at cclark3000. You can read my work on NOLA.com, and I really appreciate it, man. It was great.
Oh, it's been great fun. Yeah, it's great to have you on again, and yeah, no doubt we'll have to do it again in the future, and hopefully it'll Pels come together, and we're sitting here this time next year laughing with our championship rings, and everyone's we'll see what happens. But thanks again, mate.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you.
So thanks again to Christian Clark for coming on. It was fantastic chatting with him and finding out everything that's going on with the Pels at the moment. Obviously coming up with the draft and free agency. So we're very excited. Anyway, guys, I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you again to the sponsors, mybookie.ag and, of course, manscaped.com. Guys, this has been Lyle Swithenbank at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. Look after yourselves, and bye for now.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.